Picture a 19-seat turboprop rolling down a runway in Gloucestershire, England. Cold morning, wet grass off the edges. Nothing about it looks unusual, except that on the left wing where you would expect a normal turbine burning kerosene, there is an electric motor. And the only thing coming out the back of that motor's power source is water. That flight happened in January of 2023, and I have been chewing on what it actually means ever since. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about hydrogen, specifically hydrogen electric propulsion, the company chasing it hardest, and the honest engineering question underneath all of it: is this the future of regional flying, or is it a very expensive science experiment with great public relations? Let's break this down. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey in a coin that has real weight in your hand and is built to last a lifetime. If you have a milestone coming up or somebody in your hangar who just earned one, take a look. AviationSoul.com, okay, hydrogen. Let's start with what this technology actually is, because there is a lot of confusion baked into the word itself. When people hear hydrogen airplane, a lot of them picture a jet engine burning hydrogen instead of jet fuel. That is a real concept, and some companies are working on it, but that is not what we are talking about today. The approach I want to focus on does not burn anything at all. It uses a fuel cell. Here is the simple version. A fuel cell is a box with no moving parts. You feed hydrogen in one side and oxygen from the air in the other. Inside, a chemical reaction pulls the electron off the hydrogen atom and routes it through a circuit as electricity. The hydrogen and oxygen then combine into plain water, which is the only exhaust. So a fuel cell is not an engine. It is a generator. It makes electricity on board in real time. And that electricity spins an ordinary electric motor turning your propeller. Now, why would you do that instead of just carrying batteries? This is the part most people miss, and it is the whole reason hydrogen is even in the conversation. It comes down to energy density. Two kinds. Energy by weight, and energy by volume by weight. Hydrogen is spectacular. A kilogram of hydrogen holds roughly 3 times the energy of a kilogram of jet fuel. Compared to the lithium battery in an electric airplane, it is not even close. The best aviation battery packs today store somewhere around 250 watt-hours per kilogram at the pack level. Hydrogen, run through a fuel cell, effectively delivers many times that once you account for how light the fuel itself is. For an airplane, where every pound you carry is a pound you have to lift for the entire flight, weight is everything. A battery electric commuter runs out of useful range fast because the battery is crushingly heavy and it weighs exactly the same when it is empty as when it is full. Hydrogen does not have that problem. You burn the fuel. The airplane gets lighter, just like it always has. The data tells an interesting story here. This is why serious people think hydrogen electric could reach ranges that pure battery aircraft simply cannot. We are talking regional distances. A couple hundred nautical miles with a real payload, not a two-seat demonstrator doing laps around the pattern. So that is the promise. Now let me introduce the company that has pushed this from a slide deck into actual flight. ZeroAvia, founded around 2017 by a physicist and entrepreneur named Val Miftikov, who had already built and sold an electric vehicle charging company before he turned to aviation. ZeroAvia set up shop on both sides of the Atlantic. A facility in Hollister, California, and a flight test base at Cotswold Airport in the United Kingdom. Their approach was refreshingly grounded, and I want to give them credit for it. They did not try to build a clean-sheet science fiction airframe with a dozen tilting propellers. They took existing, certified boring airplanes and swapped the powertrain. Their first real milestone came in 2020, when they flew a 6-seat Piper M-Class, a piston single converted to hydrogen electric power, around their British test field. Small step, but a real airplane off the ground on a fuel cell. Then came the big one, the Dornier 228, a 19-seat twin turboprop, a workhorse commuter airplane that has been hauling people into short fields for decades. ZeroAvia pulled the turbine off the left side and replaced it with their hydrogen electric powertrain, the one they call the ZA600. They left a conventional turboprop on the right side for safety, which is exactly what you would do if you were a sober engineer and not a hype merchant. In January of 2023, that airplane flew 10 minutes roughly, on that first outing, with the left engine drawing its power from hydrogen fuel cells and a battery buffer. That is the flight I opened with. And it matters because 19 seats is a real airplane doing a real job. It is the size of aircraft that connects small towns to hubs all over the world. If you can make that airplane run on hydrogen, you have not built a toy. You have built a business. So far, this sounds fantastic. Now let me do the thing this show exists to do, which is tell you the honest cons, because they are significant, and anybody who skips over them is selling you something.
Problem number one.
Storing the hydrogen. Remember I said hydrogen is amazing by weight, but I said nothing about volume? Here's the catch. By volume, hydrogen is terrible. It is the lightest element in the universe, a little puff of gas. To carry a useful amount on an airplane, you have two bad options. Option one, you compress it to enormous pressure. We are talking hundreds of times atmospheric pressure in heavy, thick-walled tanks. Those tanks are round, they are bulky, and they eat your cabin. Option two, you chill it into a liquid. But hydrogen does not become a liquid until you get it down to about minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit. That is colder than almost anything else in engineering. Now you need cryogenic tanks, insulation, and you fight a phenomenon called boil-off, where the liquid slowly warms and you lose fuel just sitting on the ramp. ZeroAvia and others are betting on liquid hydrogen for the longer range versions, and that is genuinely hard. Either way, the fuel takes up a lot of room. On a small airplane, that room comes straight out of your seats and your cargo. Here is the trade-off every hydrogen designer is fighting. The fuel is light, but the tank to hold it is heavy and huge. The airplane giveth and the airplane taketh away. Problem number two. Heat, a fuel cell, is efficient, more efficient than burning fuel in a turbine. But it is not perfect, and the energy it does not turn into electricity comes out as heat, low-grade heat. And unlike a jet engine which throws its waste heat out the back at hundreds of miles an hour, a fuel cell just sits there getting warm and needs to be actively cooled. On a big airplane pulling a lot of power, getting rid of that heat means big radiators and big scoops hanging in the airstream, and every one of those adds drag. Thermal management is quietly one of the hardest parts of this whole problem. It is the kind of thing that never makes the press release but keeps the engineers up at night. Problem number three. And this is the big one. Where does the hydrogen come from, and how does it get to the airport? Here is an uncomfortable fact. Most hydrogen produced in the world today is made from natural gas in a process that releases carbon dioxide. That is called gray hydrogen. If you fly your beautiful zero-emission airplane on gray hydrogen, you have not cleaned anything up. You have just moved the tailpipe to a chemical plant somewhere else. The whole environmental case depends on green hydrogen. That is hydrogen made by running electricity from wind or solar through water to split it apart. Clean at every step. The trouble is, green hydrogen today is expensive, and it is not produced at anything close to the scale aviation would need. And then you have to deliver it, in those heavy or cryogenic tanks, to hundreds of small regional airports that right now have a fuel truck and a guy named Dave. The airplane is arguably the easy part. Building the hydrogen supply chain at every little airport is the mountain. So, put it together, what is the honest scorecard? On the promise side, hydrogen electric is the one clean propulsion path that could plausibly cover real regional distances with real passengers. In a way, batteries cannot reach for a long time. The propulsion technology works. It has flown in a 19-seat airplane over the English countryside. That is not vaporware, that is metal in the air. On the problem side, the storage is bulky, the thermal management is brutal, and the fuel infrastructure barely exists. None of those are physics breakers. All of them are enormous, expensive engineering and industrial challenges that will take years and a lot of money to solve. Which brings us to the honest timeline, and I want to be straight with you, because this industry loves an optimistic date. ZeroAvia has talked about getting its smaller powertrain, the ZA600, certified for 9 to 19-seat aircraft in the next few years, with a larger unit, the ZA2000, aimed at 40 to 80-seat regional aircraft further out. They have real orders on the books from operators, real investment, and they have partnered with an established aircraft group to convert a larger regional turboprop, the Dash 8, to hydrogen. But certification of a brand new propulsion type is slow. And it should be slow. The FAA and its European counterparts have never certified a hydrogen fuel cell powertrain for a passenger airplane. There is no rule book waiting on the shelf. Every failure mode has to be understood, tested, and proven. Hydrogen is a small leak-prone molecule and it burns over a very wide range of mixtures, so the safety engineering has to be airtight, literally and figuratively. My read, and it is just my read, is that you should expect the first small commercial hydrogen electric flights, 9 to 19 seats, short regional hops, before you expect anything resembling a hydrogen airliner. The airliner scale dream, the 100-plus seat clean jet, is a 2040s conversation at the earliest, and it will probably need liquid hydrogen and airframes designed from scratch around the tanks. The near-term believable win is the little commuter airplane flying a couple hundred miles between small towns. That is where this technology fits the physics, and physics is undefeated. Now let me widen the lens for a second, because ZeroAvia is not alone, and that actually tells you something. There is a lot of movement in this space. Universal Hydrogen, before it wound down, flew a converted Dash 8 on Hydrogen 2. Airbus has publicly explored hydrogen concepts under its clean aviation programs. Engine makers and startups on both continents are circling the same idea from different angles, some with fuel cells, some with hydrogen combustion. When you see multiple serious, well-funded, independent teams all converging on the same hard problem, that is usually a signal that the underlying idea is sound, even if any one company stumbles. And some of them will stumble. That is how this works. Here's what I keep coming back to as an engineer. The thing that makes hydrogen compelling is not that it is trendy. It is that it is the one option that respects the brutal arithmetic of flight. Airplanes hate weight, batteries are heavy and stay heavy. Hydrogen is light and gets lighter as you fly. That single fact is why this refuses to die, no matter how hard the storage and infrastructure problems push back. Whether ZeroAvia specifically is the company that cracks it, I genuinely do not know. Startups are fragile and the road to certification is littered, but the flight over the Cotswolds proved the core idea can leave the ground with a real number of seats behind it. And in aviation, proving something can be done is always the hardest mile. Everything after that is engineering and money and time. So the next time somebody tells you the electric airplane is a dead end because batteries are too heavy, you can tell them they are half right. Batteries alone probably will not carry a full commuter 200 miles anytime soon. But that is not the only way to move an electron through a motor. Sometimes you carry the energy as a gas, split the electron off at altitude, and let the exhaust fall out of the sky as clean water. That is a genuinely elegant piece of engineering. And it is flying right now, in small numbers, off a wet runway in England. The reporting behind today's segment draws on ZeroAvia's own published flight test announcements, along with technical coverage from the aviation trade press and the basic energy density figures any engineer can check for themselves. If you want the show notes, they live at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep an eye on the little 19-seaters. That is where the future usually shows up first, quietly, before anybody thinks to look. See you next time on Clear Direct.